Welcome to the Toddcast, everybody. We're back. We're back after a week of not being here because Justin got to go to New York and I got to be in Cranberry training our new guy, Brian, who is doing a great job, by the way. And I'm not just saying that because he's in earshot of me while he's closing the store. I'm saying that because I mean it, because I actually try to give my, because I
John
try to
will
be a good
shit talk you to your
employer and
face.
I try to I yo, look at that. He's jump. He's doing the Elon Musk jump. It's great. This is great. This is hilarious. Just don't make fucking terrible looking Jeep or trucks. We'll be okay. No, he's doing a great job. No, I'm the kind of employee, the kind of boss that's gonna give people actually a compliment every once in a while. That's all. And that's what I like to do. I like to tell people that they do good jobs, when they do good jobs. Now, if you suck, I will tell you, hey man, you fucked up. So,
Yes.
Justin knows. Not often does he get that,
No.
but
About
sometimes,
once or twice a year, I'll get it
yeah.
from you.
And it's usually not even a full you screwed it up. It's more like, hey man, we need to talk about this thing. So, all right, so. In a effort to make some room at the warehouse, we do have some cool stuff coming up. So we have a couple bonus days in the warehouse. So they are 50-cent bonus days. The first one is this Saturday from 11 to 6. I believe Todd is manning that one. $150 plus tax for fill a whole long box at the warehouse in Elwood. And then Saturday, the 2nd of November, the first Saturday of November, I believe Bob's manning that one. And then tentatively, there may be another one, to, weather permitting. We're kind of playing it by ear and doing it about a 2 week out thing. We'll see how that goes. But remember, the warehouse is not heated and there may be water on the floor. Please dress accordingly. Please bring money. Like we mean it when we say cash only, just because it really is cash only. And then we are partnering with our friends over at K&J to do a dollar book sale. So it's the dollar book team up is what I like to call it. So we're hanging out with Carl and Julie on Saturday the 16th. Just down the plaza from where they're at, they have a there's an empty space in the plaza. We filled with long boxes. We're gonna have a dollar a piece, $300 a long box, 11 to 6. I will be there representing New Dimension Comics, and I believe Julie's gonna be hanging out for K&J. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and we're just gonna be digging. And Julie and I have been friends for a long time, so it's gonna be good to catch up with her and just hang out, not in the store for once. So I get a kind of break and kind of work at the same time. It's weird. And then also don't miss the Pittsburgh Comic Book Show this weekend, this Sunday. Justin and I will be there
Yes, sir.
10 to 4, I believe,
Yes.
at the Crowne Plaza at South Hills Village. It's right across from South Hills Village, 10 to 4. I believe it's $8 to get in. It's under 10. That's all I know. It's
Yeah.
under 10. So make sure you check that out.
It's a
The
good
guys at
show.
Pop Culture put on a great little show. It's a one day banger. My buddy Bill McKay is going to be there. He's an artist. He does a lot of cool variants. And then also Arthur Sudum is going to be there. I believe they're going to have a CGC witness there as well. Make sure you come check that out. Bill's a big punk rock guy, so if you like punk rock and you don't even know that he's an artist, just go talk to him about the Descendants. He will talk to you for like an hour. It's great. I'm not even kidding. He really will. It's awesome. Like I
But
love Bill so much.
the show in general, though, is it's a great show. It's a great little local show.
Yeah. I mean, last year I
Even
bought
though
that
it's
big
moved to
ass.
several different locations, I think
Yeah.
this location is by far probably the better one,
I mean,
space-wise and
I will say
location-wise.
this one has the best bathroom of the three,
Yes.
and it comes with a bar, like there's a hotel bar
Better access to food, which
and
is,
food. Yeah.
so.
So there's that, and then Yeah, that's about it. And then, we're just prepping for Black Friday and stuff, and we'll be announcing that sale soon. That's pretty much all I got. So, I'm gonna let Justin talk about New York since he got to be there for some fun and some
Yes.
not so much fun working a booth, but some things while
Yeah,
I
some
gotta
of
dig up some I gotta dig up
the
some stuff while you do that. So you do your thing and I will
drama.
be pulling images. So
All right. Well, first, I got to experience my first lunar meeting as a representative of New Dimension Comics. Me and my wife were both representing. It was fascinating seeing the different speakers. Got to see, was it, there was a, some retail meetings, like how to sell in retail and everything. That was the boring blah 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 stuff, but in general you did pick up some good information. The highlight of the day for me was Todd Father, Todd McFarlane, gave a very charismatic and impassioned speech. Why he doesn't run for president is beyond me, because I think he'd probably win. I don't
isn't he
think he can.
Canadian? He's
Yeah, he
Canadian, isn't
can't.
he?
Yeah, he, yeah.
It's
Well,
like, yeah, dude,
again,
he
the
can't.
joke. Yeah, he can't. But again, well, all the good people that are either from Canada or we don't want to, or they're women. It's, we can't do any good, better thing better than that.
That's fair.
But he gave a real cool Q&A. He was out there asking opinions and what everybody was interested in and improving their sales. And he's like, look, if you guys don't make money, I don't make money. He put it out there and he's like, I've been lucky. He's like, I got to establish myself for decades before things. He's like, but even then, he's like, I had to take risks and I had to do this. And he's all about, taking the initiative. And, it was very awe-inspiring for me. Even my wife was like, you had a little man crush on him because you had this little smile as you were listening to him. And I told her, I was like, yes, considering I was reading his work since I was in middle school. So yes, getting to meet him. He handed out his, we had a big retailer surprise. We all got a copy, a retail copy, but it was like one per store. So and I don't get to keep it. I'm passing it over to John, and that's going to be a New Dimensions property. So c'est la
Sorry.
vie. I got to hold it though, and
You got
Todd
to
actually
hold it.
handed it.
I'm sure you like cuddled it the entire way home.
I may have peed a little in my pants. But he
I
handed
don't doubt that whatsoever.
but he actually handed it out to us. He didn't just let his people under him do it. He actually handed it out to everybody, and that was super cool. He said he engaged with everybody. It was definitely an awe-inspiring experience for myself. Later that night, there was the big dinner soiree, which was basically pizza and pretzels. So, someone who was not eating carbs a lot this week, that it's going to take me a week to reset my body from eating all these carbs. My body was not used to eating. But I got to hear DC, Scott Snyder talk about the absolute universe and how him and Jason Aaron and all those guys just talking about how DC is reinventing the characters and everything. And we got to see a lot of cool panels for not just issue two, but issue three of Absolute Batman. So it was some cool stuff that I've never gotten to see at a show other than being at a booth selling books. this was definitely something that was different for me. I wouldn't mind doing that again. I just have to remember to take it easy on the physical toll that my body's still feeling today. But the rest of the weekend was me working for our friend vendor friend Joe over at Awesome Minis. I literally got maybe an hour on the floor total and the rest of the time I didn't get a lot of time to do anything other than work my butt off, which kind of sucked, but it is what it is. I signed up for it. I did get to witness the drama of the Peach Momoko book fiasco. There were no fights, but there was a lot of pushing, shoving, and threatening, like beyond what should have been. And I'm not going to get into much detail beyond that. All I gotta say is that it was the most unprofessional thing I've ever seen from an exhibitor. And it's a shame that, and it happened when it opened early morning. Was it Friday morning or Saturday morning? I think it was Friday morning. For a family-friendly show, that should not be tolerated in any way, shape, or form. And they did get everything under control eventually, but it was just poor planning. I don't know whose responsibility that was, but they should be fired, or at least written up. It was not a pleasant experience for anybody. And I feel bad for the people who didn't get a shot at those books because of their poor planning. Because it was a total debacle. But that's my opinion. That is just me looking at it and seeing it the way it was. No sugarcoating it on that end. But other than that, the rest of the week, it was the busy, it was I want to say it was twice as busy as it was last year. Easily
Okay.
twice as
Well,
busy.
I don't, it might have been twice as busy upstairs. Maybe Artist Alley wasn't as busy, or maybe the panels weren't as
Artist
bad, but
Alley
they
seemed to be a little bit
lighter.
lighter, but
Yeah.
not with stars. Like there were a lot of people that I really wanted to meet, and I didn't get to meet them, unfortunately. I did get to see Maria Wolf, our favorite cover artist. She did have my book that I commissioned for her in our store, and
Oh man, that is sexy.
it is a beautiful, beautiful
Good
artwork.
God.
I think I'm getting this graded. I don't think I want to read it. I mean, I've read this issue anyway. I have
Yeah.
the issue anyway, but this is like my first commissioned piece I've ever had.
That's
And
awesome.
Maria gave it to me in front of five other dudes, and they looked at me. One
Were they
dude is
like,
like,
where the hell did you get that from?
well, the one dude offered me a grand for it, right?
Really?
Like, yeah, as I'm holding it, I just got it in my hand, and I'm like, I paused for like 2 seconds, and I'm like, I would, but I'm gonna hold on this. I was like, this is my first piece, and Maria was like, well, she's like, if you get the 1,000, I'll do you another commission. You just have to get it another, I'll have to see it another show later. And I was like, I don't have any more blank covers, or
Oh,
I would probably think about it.
you know what you should have done? You should have bought some from our Whatnot sale on Wednesday.
Yes.
By the way, guys, we're having our Whatnot sales going on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 a.m. Justin's curating them. Scott's gonna be announcing and actually hopefully talking this time.
Well, it hopefully like what this month, early next month, he'll move it to a better location where I could actually help with the description as well. Or is he just gonna,
I mean, He's kind of going back and forth. He's going to try it still at his house for a little bit and see how it goes. But I don't know. I suggested that maybe if both of you were in the same room, you could just go back and forth and talk about stuff. But
Yeah, it might
but
be
we'll see how
more
it goes.
engaging. Yeah, we'll
Yeah, we'll
see.
see. We'll see how it goes.
But I got a
Either
couple
way,
others.
start it, check it out, guys, on 10 o'clock Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah,
Anyway,
but
continue on.
there
Sorry.
were a couple other places that I did able to visit. They were only within like 2 aisles beyond me because I had that much time. Shout out to Seiju Studios. I got some little pins of some of my favorite anime guys. These are going on a bag I will have to show later. And I found this in the only comic stand that I was able to shop. They made me a deal on it. Darker Image number one, the white variant cover.
Holy crap. And a 9.4, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I
I
mean,
and it's
usually they're either bright white or they're like tan.
yeah. Yeah, this is pretty good actually. It's not too bad. I almost want to crack it because this is like the old slab case. So this could actually be better.
Yeah, I mean it's less tampered,
Yes.
tamperish, tamperable,
Yeah.
tamp, whatever.
Tamper-like. I just got
Tamperable.
this. This just got delivered me today. I saw this at the show, but I couldn't get to them. But they were like, we're taking orders. I got this is from the Heroes and Villains line. I got a Weapon X book bag.
Oh, that's
And
kind of cool.
this is a pretty like it's almost like a tactical bag almost.
Huh.
And I'm like, this may be my new con bag.
I had a Deadpool bag that was similar to that
They
that I
were
had for
selling
like
the
2 years.
Deadpool
Yeah. It
bags.
lasted like 2 years before the bottom finally ripped out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really nice. Had a lot of pouches.
Yes, I'm sure it did. This has a lot of pouches too, by the
Right.
looks of it. Yeah. So, but
That's
it looked
awesome.
pretty cool. So I was like, oh, I'll get that. But yeah, that was the extent of my wonder. I did kind of watch some of the guys with the exclusives. And wow, a lot of exclusives, very odd exclusives. Terminator exclusives for the new Terminator book. They were doing metal covers of Arnold, either from in his commando outfit or in his Predator outfit.
Interesting.
And I'm like, huh. They were asking 150 per one, and I'm like, yeah, that's a little rich for my blood, but thank
Yeah,
you.
it's
I was
not
like,
much.
cool
Yeah.
looking. Yeah.
It's pretty cool, though.
It was interesting. I saw someone was selling Biggie and Tupac covers. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I didn't know they had a comic stuff for them, but hey,
Right?
more power to you.
Yeah.
But
Cool.
yeah, no, New York was. From what I heard, it was a good experience for most people, with the exception of the debacle there at the in the early going on Friday morning there. But the rest of the time seemed like everybody was having fun. You got to see some amazing cosplays. We were right diagonal from the X-Men 97 crew,
That's cool.
and it was pretty much everybody. Everybody was there. I think the voices of Jean and Storm were only there Friday. And then they had to switch it up. But they had everybody else. We actually, at the mini shop, each gave them their own mini. So they had their own little mini me waiting for them at the table.
That's awesome.
So, but we couldn't keep X-Men 97 minis. Those were sold out. Jujutsu Kaisen stuff was sold out. Like we were, it was insane.
I don't
Of
doubt
course.
that. Don't doubt that at all. So. All right. Well, let's talk about some comics then, yeah? I'm glad you made it back alive. So, all right. Where the hell did I put the share button? There it is. Share. Boom. Violating. I mean, violator.
Violator 2. All right. Now, as you can see there, this story is forward in time from the last time we picked up from Violator 1, where it was basically the origin on how the Violator came to be as a basically a fallen angel because he got suckered in by Lucifer. This one, we find the Violator is sleeping slash trapped in a thing of ice, being pulled by monks. And as they're pulling him, they're being chased by the Viking spawn there. And he's just slaughtering everybody. While he's fighting, or I want to say slaughtering people, the Violator actually comes to life, breaks the ice, and they start kind of engaging in, well, you're a fellow hell brother, blah blah blah. And Violator's like, I don't want anything to do with you. You are not, it seems like he doesn't want to be a part of hell. And he feels slighted by Lucifer and God. He's like basically that misfit of getting screwed over through circumstance. But the Viking spawn tries to kill Violator. Now, Viking spawn is nowhere near as powerful as Al Simmons spawn. He easily dispatches him, like he just rips him to shreds in no time flat. It wasn't even a battle. Then the monks are like, thank you for taking care of this evil spawn. Is there anything we can do for you? And this is where Violator goes into a speech of, I just want to be left alone. I don't want anything to do with this. And one of the monks, of course, is like, but you're a demon, so you must die. And he tries to kill the Violator. And of course, pitiful human monk gets slaughtered. But he leaves the rest of them alone because they did rescue him, per se. So his thank you was basically, I'm going to let you live. Pretty straightforward. Not as revealing or as the first one was with Origin, but I'm kind of picking up the anti-hero, like I just want to be, I shouldn't have been this shouldn't be a thing. Out of it, very emo Violator era, I guess. I don't know how to best describe it.
Emo later. The
But
emo later.
yeah, he even this is like I guess when he actually reveals his name as the Violator, because the Viking spawn kept calling him by Belial, and he's like, my name's not Belial anymore, it's the Violator. So I guess this is like the hence how he named himself. So you're getting little bits and pieces on how the Violator came to be in current Spawn era. And of course Viking Spawn looked badass. This has to be like this and Rat City have to be my favorite books out of the new Spawn stuff from this year, I should say. Like other than the King Spawn and all that, it's the I like the getting the supporting roles and the supporting characters a little bit. Other than the Sam and Twitch book, which sucks still. I have picked that up and read it, and it's boring as shit. So I don't know why. It shouldn't be, but it is. But I'm definitely giving this like a solid, give me a good, meat, like a meat filled breakfast burrito. It's like one of the really good ones, not a crappy microwave one, but like a actually one made in like a restaurant where it's like it takes up half the plate. You just open it up and it's just seething in cheese and meat. Because I feel like that's the way this book made me feel so far, is like you're getting a lot of little bits and pieces with a lot of gore in it, but you're learning something, and it's a really cool backstory, and I'm really enjoying it so far.
That's good. Very cool. All right, my first book is Absolute Wonder Woman number one, which is an all-in tie-in by Kelly Thompson, Hayden Sherman, Jordi Belair. So this book is kind of interesting. It starts off with this weird upside-down triangle floating in the air above Gateway City. And then all of a sudden, all these like flying kind of like mini dragons fly out, and all of a sudden the Absolute Wonder Woman is flying on a skeleton Pegasus with like this awesome like black armor on with a huge freaking sword, and she's just beating the shit out of all of them. She clangs the gauntlets together, and a whole bunch of them die. And you find out that she is not only the last Wonder Woman, but she is also a witch raised by Cersei on the island of Hell. This book, it was very interesting. Like, so Apollo steals Diana when she's a baby because the Amazons didn't do what they were supposed to do. And she gives Diana to Cersei on Hell. And is tells her to raise her, and also makes it so that Cersei can never say the word Amazon, so that Diana will never know what she is. And she raises her as her own after she realizes that she's special and very powerful in her own right, but yet also very tender and can like tame animals. So she trains her to be a witch. As well as a warrior, and she like there's parts where like she kills a giant bird and like beats like a Cerberus type creature, and then when she takes her helmet off, when you see her fighting the pyramid monsters, she has like almost like black makeup over her eyes, very, very witchcrafty, with this huge sword. Oh, she calls it something very specific. I think she calls it Harbinger Prime or something like that. Like the sword has a very specific name, but it's very weird to see like Wonder Woman using magic, versus like just strength and beating the shit out of things. She's like, there's a good chunk of that too. So there's a little bit of background between her and Cersei, and she realizes that she's an Amazon, and she finds the name, the word by herself, and she realizes what she is. And Cersei kind of gives her the tools to go out and discover the world, and and be the last Amazon and the daughter of Cersei and the princess of Hell and the witch of the Wild Isle. And it was really good. Like, I love the art. The art fit the book very well. I'll be honest, it reminded me a lot of the vibe that I got from the Brian Azzarello, Cliff Chang stuff from the New 52. Like it just has that vibe, like even in the art, where the book, the writing fit the art very well. And I'm very interested to see where this one goes a little more than I was the Batman stuff. Yeah, this is just like a it's like just a crazy, super badass version of Wonder Woman. And only Kelly Thompson can probably pull this off. So I'm very excited. I'm gonna give this like a Western omelet with like half a bottle of Tabasco sauce on it, with like chopped jalapenos and like a glass of beer, like a mug of beer. Like that's the kind of crazy breakfast this is like this would entail. And the toast would be like cinnamon toast, because it would have to be like that kind of like all kinds of spices and flavors with everything. I just really enjoyed the shit out of this book. So good job, Kelly Thompson. Good job.
Yeah, we got the Uncanny X-Men number four. No, I was a couple issues behind, so like two and three, I'm not quite sure what's been going on, but we get a passage at the beginning of the book here of Professor X's, I guess, diary or journal, and he describes a woman named Sarah Gaunt. Galut, who he was basically dating, and this must have been before Moira, and they were talking, and she was saying how much she wants a family, and she wants a child, and of course Xavier, not quite sure he does, but he doesn't. And that's all we kind of get a glimpse of. Then we see Rogue and Nightcrawler are looking for Wolverine. They find him like in a bloody mess because apparently he was fighting this demon-esque type of creature. I think this is Sarah, but there's like some sort of, I don't think she's a mutant because she denies being a mutant, but something happened to her where she's like this really weird creature, almost like somewhere between a poltergeist and a Wendigo by the looks of the drawing. And Nightcrawler gets Logan out of there because he's beaten up to a pulp. Rogue takes her on, and she even resists Rogue's powers. She even snaps Rogue's arm, breaks it. So that shows you how powerful Sarah is. We do get a little bit more backstory of Sarah. Apparently, she did have a child, and they had, I guess, during a flood or a hurricane, she lost the child. And I don't, whatever happened to her happened to her. It's not really giving great detail of what exactly she is. Meanwhile, the rest of the X-Men are kind of held up in their, I guess, their lodgings. Logan, of course, is still recovering, but the lodging is surrounded by creatures, and they're preparing to fight. It's hard for me to be critical because I'm not exactly getting where they're going with this yet. But I have to say, this after Krakoa stuff, not doing very well across the board. Any of the X titles, from what I've been hearing from people, this doesn't seem to be bad. This seems very similar to like 90s X-Men, where it's just an adventure against a creature and we're not too sure why. Which I'm down for, but I don't think I'm getting quite the vibe that I would like to get out of this. I'm gonna give this, give me like a hard boiled egg, you know? Maybe some sausage links with it. Like that, I think there's something here. I'm just not getting it yet. There's nothing wrong with the art. The art's fine.
Okay.
I'm just not getting where they're taking this Uncanny X-Men currently. I just don't know where it's going. Maybe that's on me.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. So, well, fair enough. I haven't caught up on it yet. I'm behind a little bit, so. All right, my next book is Iron Man 1. By Spencer Ackerman, Julius Ota, and Alex Sinclair. So this book starts out where Tony Stark is taking back over Stark Enterprises. There's a couple guys that kind of like Hulk out, like weird mutant out, and he comes to kind of, oh, excuse me, kind of like, takes care of them. They're employees, I guess, like. They're trying to get into the building. He's trying to stop the building or try to reshape the building because when the guy that he got it back from had it, they were using it to make weapons again, and he's not all about that anymore. So he gets the union guys to kind of not or to kind of be better about it, so he ends up in the hospital after that fight for a while, and he's like really, really skinny, like really trying to put himself back together. He's missing his anti-magic armor that Black Cat found him, who's now his ex-wife, I guess. Which I forgot they got married, but whatever. So he goes to like his first board meeting. Basically, Roxxon's trying to like buy out the company. He's not gonna have that. So he's trying to figure out what he can do. An explosion goes off in a building. Tiger Shark and Flying Shark show up. Finds out that they were basically just there to watch Iron Man beat him up. The mutant guys show back up, and all of a sudden Justine Hammer shows back up, and everyone thought she was dead back in Iron Man 527, which was a long time ago, like pre-pandemic long time ago. And she uses the Mysterium armor to build a giant new Ironmonger, which is crazy cool looking. And they have a throwdown. Tony gets almost killed. And at the end, you see him building a new Iron Man, basically Mark One style armor. So I'm curious to see where it's going. I think it's a back to basic style book. Even the front cover, which is what you see here, reminds me of like the cover of Iron Man Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. number one. So I think it's going to be kind of like that back to basics type storyline, like it's him versus Roxxon. I dug it a little bit. The story kind of jumped around a little for me. It wasn't as streamlined as I hoped, but I like the art. For the most part, I thought it was an okay pickup. Like I didn't have to figure out where. Like, I didn't have to go back and read a bunch of stuff to figure out what was going on. So I'm gonna give it like I'm gonna give it like a Belgian waffle that's been sitting in syrup just a little too long, right? Like where you're just like you cut into it and you're just like whoop, and it just like your knife slides right through it. Like you're just like, oh, it's a
Just
little
soggy
mushy.
enough. Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like oh, the consistency is just not quite there right now. Like you just wanted it to be a little bit better, but it's still tasty. It's just a little needed to be like you just wanted it to be a little bit better. So that's where I'm gonna put it. I'm gonna put it right there because I think it's definitely got some room to grow. I think it's got some good options, and I think I think I'm gonna read issue two. I think if it's at least as good as issue one and kind of moves the story to where it needs to be for me at least, I'll probably be reading the rest of the run. Iron Man's a big like top five character for me, top three character for me. So I'm really excited for it. We'll see how it goes. Did
All
I get
right,
the right cover?
yes.
Oh, yay!
Yeah, this is the new volume of Wolverine. This is number two. This is Wolverine still in Canadian woods,
Canada.
Canada. Sorry, I was mid
When
belch when that happened.
Wendigo? Is that the
Wendigo.
Wendigo?
Yes. Anyway, he is in the woods and he's staying away from like the whole situation from the last issue where everybody was losing their minds. Cyber was killing people, the whole nine yards. This is him, like everything seems to have calmed down, but Department H is hunting him now. I think they think he's the one who was doing all the killing, but in reality it was just Cyber doing it. So Wolverine is slinking around, covering his tracks. As he's doing that, he gets attacked by a Wendigo. And he, as he's fighting it, he is realizing that this is not the usual Wendigo, as it is hesitant. It is not as ferocious as the normal Wendigos that he has fought in the past. It even, like, after Wolverine was going to give it the final blow, it said help, which for anybody who knows what happens with a Wendigo, it doesn't say anything but just the name Wendigo. So for the fact that it said help was something different and extraordinary. So Wolverine, it goes like this, reaches his hand out. It seems like this Wendigo still has some humanity left in it. The Wendigo leads Wolverine to a abandoned cabin where it presents him with a journal. And in the journal, it is like a there's like a cartoon, like picture cartoon of what happened. Apparently the Wendigo was a child. This is a child.
Oh, baby
And
go.
yeah.
When did baby go? When did baby go?
There you go. There you go. But it his circumstance was him and I guess it was his brother were stuck in this cabin. The brother got deathly ill and died. And he was going to die next. So all he the only thing he could do to survive was eat human flesh. Well, that passes on the Wendigo curse. As Wolverine is figuring out like how he could possibly get this kid, the curse reversed on this kid. This is where Department H fucks it up. They come in, they're shooting, and they're, trying to capture Wolverine, and they see the Wendigo, and they're like, oh, we got to get rid of Wendigo too. Wolverine fights them off, tells the Wendigo to go run. Someone gets a lucky shot off, and it hits like Wendigo in the shoulder. The Wendigo suddenly gets furious, and then Wolverine's like, you want help? You don't want to do this, just run. And they continue running. Of course, Department H keeps chasing them. Finally, the Wendigo just runs off. Wolverine is doing an inner monologue going, he may have finally just let go of the last of his humanity, so he's just running. And as Wolverine catches up, you see that there's a Department H soldier. Looks like he shot Wendigo, but Wendigo ate him. So that's the end.
Oh
That's
no.
where it's left off. It was kind of a sad end of it here. Didn't really expand on the whole thing with Cyber and all the other events before in the previous issue, but this was kind of cool. Having Wendigo pop in and out is always a fun little treat. I put him top five Wolverine enemies that he always fights and deals with. But I like the twist with the kid, and the kid fighting the Wendigo curse. That was something new. That was something different. I'm gonna give this, give me two scrambled eggs with some, give me some mild cheddar on top there.
Cheddar.
Couple of sausage patties, a couple of things of bacon. Like this is leading up to something. I'm hoping that, it is only issue two, so not a lot you can get from the first two issues, except there's a lot of groundwork for down the line of what can happen with Wolverine, which is, as long as it's well written, it should be good. I'm hopeful.
Cool.
But that's it. Yeah.
All right, my last book is Green Lantern Dark number one. It's an Elseworlds title. This is by Tate Brumble, Werther Dallaire, Giovanna Nero. So first, I have to say that the art in this book is absolutely fucking fantastic. It, like, the more I got into it, the more I was like, God damn, they're like channeling Bill Sienkiewicz the entire book. Like the cover does not do it justice.
I
So
think
it obviously
there's a
takes.
couple of variants that are very, very good on this too.
Oh yeah. So it takes place on an alternate Earth where there's like an alternate Justice League. Most of them are dead. And you find out that Grundy is actually the guy who killed most of them. And if you know anything about classic like Golden Age Green Lantern, Grundy and Golden Age Green Lantern are and it are like main enemies in that. So I find it funny that the two kids in this book are named Kane and Lunette, right? Kane, I assumed, is named after Gil Kane, and Lunette is just because of like as in lumination, and lunar, like the moon. So every night they light lanterns because Green Lantern is their hero, their protector, and they think that the Green Lantern will come and save them. And they go into this diner, and they They see the Green Lantern and they try to approach her, and all of a sudden these zombies come over, and the Green Lantern like blows up the zombie and is like, get out of here. There's also a whole lot of swearing in this book, which I thought was interesting. So the Green Lantern's like, no, you need to leave. Like, the monsters just follow my light. So put your lanterns out, like, stay in the darkness. And you find out, you come to find out that it wasn't actually her, that this Green Lantern, who's a female, did not actually create Grundy. It was the one before her who she picked up the lantern from. And she kind of like talks to the Luna kid. And she talks about how her light is actually more of like a funeral pyre. And they have this big throwdown with Grundy and his army, where Luna ends up having like her own kind of flame. Just some fantastic panels with some fantastic art. Again, very Sienkiewicz style panel art. Like, I wish you could see like some of this panel art. It is just super great. And then she eventually like puts a big dome around the city to save them. But she ends up breaking her concentration, and the zombies come through. They have a little more of a fight. And then when Green Lantern finally gives up and her lantern shatters, Grundy finally can rest, and all of the zombies finally pass, like stop. And then the Green Lantern, the willpower of the Green Lantern reignites their lanterns, both of them, and they end up like blowing up the rest of the bad guys. It's pretty cool. I really thought it was good. It's chapter one of six. I just thought this was a cool Elseworlds book. So if you dig like weird Elseworlds stuff and you want to check out some really mean, like sick art, definitely check this book out. I really dug the hell out of it. It's not quite Tangent Green Lantern, like Tangent Universe, but it's similar in look because she has that like staff. So I'm gonna give this book ooh. I gotta give it Green Eggs and Ham. Can't not. Right.
Nice.
And a kale smoothie, right?
Ooh, there you go.
Right, all the green. It's good times. So, but it was very delicious. You guys should check it out. So, other than that, Agatha's cruising along.
Yes, yes.
What, two more episodes? One more episode, right?
Two left for
I
this
watched
week.
last night's episode this morning. It was pretty good.
I have to give credit to the writing. This was this
Oh,
questions
there are
of
two episodes, but it's two episodes next week. It's a
oh,
two-part finale.
okay,
Yeah.
yeah, because you it's what the last it's the day before Halloween, so yeah, so that makes
Yeah.
sense. Yeah,
Yeah.
but yeah, it. This is the writing in this is spectacular. And it makes me chuckle that it's like, why was this not done for some of the other MCU projects? Is my question.
So I honestly, I think it was. I just think that, like, I think the other stuff just came out too fast. I don't think there was enough time in between where people could just absorb it a bit. And I think the time between Endgame and whatever the hell the first thing was after Endgame. Like, was it Black Widow? Well, there was Spider-Man, but then, like, what?
Black Widow was the
Black Widow
next,
was the
so
next thing, right? Because that was
yeah.
before whatever
WandaVision.
WandaVision, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I
Like the
think that,
first TV thing was WandaVision, if I'm
yeah.
correct.
But like, as soon as WandaVision was over, like 3 weeks later, we had Loki. And then 3 weeks later, we had Captain America. And then 3 weeks later, we had another one. And 3 weeks later, we had another one. And it was like boom, 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 boom. And we just had them all super fast. Like, this one was, we had like a month, like 3 months since Loki, right? Or Echo, actually, right? I think that was the last one. So.
It feels like this is the pace that they should have had instead of just trying to jam everything in. And it probably wouldn't have been as negatively accepted. Well, hopefully. Yeah, I know there are certain people that are never going to be happy unless it's pitch perfect. But I think there
You're
are.
saying you say you want a show with Anna Kendrick in it? Because I would totally watch that. Anna Kendrick as Black Cat, won it right now.
No, but it's like the people that complain about Moon Knight and stuff like that. I was like, I thought Moon Knight was good.
I did too. I really like Moon Knight.
I
But I
thought it was.
also, but here's my thing is, and my biggest complaint to the people that complain about a lot of this stuff, and I was at, I was at a lodge function a couple weeks ago, and one guy was talking about some stuff, and I was like, did you read the material, like the source material? And he was like, no. And I was like, maybe you should do that before you judge it, because I think a lot of this stuff, like She-Hulk and Moon Knight and
Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel. Well, yeah, we'll even say Miss Marvel. We'll throw those, we'll use those three as great examples. They pulled so much from the source material that people didn't get it, right? And there were so such abstract characters that they haven't really used in mainstream for a while, that it was weird for them to use them like that, right? Like, it was so hard. I was like, did you read, like, when we were talking, because we were talking about She-Hulk, and the guy was like, oh, it was just this woke blah 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 thing. And I was like, dude, did you read the Dan Slott and John Byrne run? Like I was like, that whole finale, like, is like legitimately a book. I'm like, I can show you. I own almost every issue that each episode homaged, almost every single one. I own all of those issues. And he was like, really? And I'm like, yeah. Like, that's why I loved it so much, because it was so, it
On.
was like literally taking the comic book and making it come to life. Like, and Moon Knight really did that for
Jeff Lemire's run.
the Jeff Lemire run and the Mark Spector Moon Knight run. Like, not as much as like the original Fist of Khonshu,
No.
but those two, like the original run, and then like the tail end was the Jeff Lemire run. And then like the Miss Marvel run, like the first three episodes were like without, with the change of her being a mutant instead of an inhuman, it was pretty close to the books. Like, it was pr it, like the vibe was pretty damn close. So like, if you read the books, and maybe you did, maybe that book wasn't for you, so maybe don't watch the show. Who cares? Not everything's going to be for everybody. Who cares? Like, it's
But
like the people who complained about Shuri as Black Panther. I'm like, did you read the comics? Because those comics were fucking awesome. She took on Doctor Doom. Like, it was great.
But again, it's the people who complain are either the purists or they're a person who's never picked up a comic book at all.
Right.
You know, that the there's no in between, like where somebody might be read a few comic books, they just haven't read this yet or read that yet. So it's, I think Marvel is finally getting a slight balance. Like Agatha is definitely, there's not a lot of written about Agatha. There's literally her with Fantastic Four as the babysitter. And
And
then
then the ultimate
her as a
stuff.
ghost
That's
walking through with Scarlet Witch. And that's it. Like that's the
well the
majority of her stuff.
I mean, well, in the 616, then there's like the whole ultimate side where she's younger and is actually like a younger witch. Like that's
But
and a lot of
that's,
that's and that's a little bit more where she's more of like an anti-hero,
yeah.
like that side.
Yeah, but they didn't take it from that point other than making her look young and not an old crone.
They
But
took a
it's,
lot of her look from the Ultimate Universe, but they took a lot of her personality from the 616.
show, yeah. But it's, again, that's the kind of character you can expand on and do whatever you want to it because there is no source material per se, where there's not as much, where you can fudge stuff and it's not, it's like it's like Loki, where people didn't give a crap about Loki unless you're super into Nordic culture. Then, it's, and that gets you a little bit better idea, or you are a hardcore Thor fan, then you know all about Loki. It's there were the it was those two types of people that nobody else. I didn't do a lot of stuff on Loki. I never read a lot of Loki stuff. I've read a few Thor comics, but not enough to be like, oh yeah, Loki, that's exactly the way he is in the comics. It's he is like they did take source material and use it, like the President Loki and all that little stuff that they stuck in there. And it's, they need a better balance. And I think they're finally getting that balance of use source material, but also have a creative writing team that will make a show really good, which is exactly what they did with this current show.
I think it's I would even say like the last couple things that Marvel's put out. Like I think the Marvels kind of had that vibe. I think what was the last movie they put out?
Deadpool
No, what was the
Wolverine.
one before it?
I think it was the Marvels.
Was it Marvels?
I think so.
Okay, it might have been the Marvels. Like it was like those two mo like those movies like actually had like more of a phase one vibe because they
Yeah.
took enough of the original like the source material but they spun it to give it the MCU like storyline treatment, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't like but it wasn't so tight into the store the source material and it wasn't so far away from the source material. It was like a good balance point,
Yeah.
like the phase one stuff was.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the phase one stuff worked so well.
Unfortunately, the Marvels did not get the love that Deadpool Wolverine, but that is because I think it's just a Brie Larson hatred is at this point. It's just that people just don't like her, and Marvel probably should have just been like, after her first appearance, you'd be like, you know what? You're not cut out to be this character. We'll get somebody else that's more
See, I
likable.
thought she was fine the whole time.
Well, I'm not saying that she was bad, or it's just the way people perceive her, like the public. The public is not a big fan of her.
Well,
And why would you keep making it? It's like the Flash movie. Why did you put out a Flash movie where you got a
but no,
dude playing?
that's different. Like, that dude is a fucking psychopath.
Oh, he
Like,
is. He is.
there's a difference between. Because people think that Brie Larson was just a bad actress. They think that she's wooden. She think that they think that she's like didn't show emotion and stuff. I'm like,
Yeah.
that's how the character was written at the time of that character's life. Like,
Yeah.
did you not pay attention to the movie? Like, did you not read the source material? Like, And that's the problem. Again, people not reading the source material, right? Like, or they're not paying attention to the movie. Like they don't get it. Like maybe the writing in the movie wasn't as good as it should have been to convey that message to where she was, she had her whole mind wiped. And then she was literally trained as a militant, right? A militant alien, not as some, prissy girl. Like, and maybe, and there's a lot of fucking bros out there that don't like a girl that can stand up for herself. And
Well,
whatever. And, I don't know. I kind of prefer a woman who can kick my ass. I'm not gonna lie. So,
I have no issue with strong women.
Exactly.
Again,
I mean, I literally like call my wife the She-Hulk sometimes because when she gets drunk, she could flip a car. Let me tell you. But like I love a strong female character. I liked how they wrote Carol. I thought they did well with it. I thought they adapted multiple storylines very well. I thought they did the Kelly Sue run very well with it. So I don't I think it's just an eye of the beholder thing. I think a lot of guys just didn't read the source material and they weren't going to. And I know I flat out saw and talked to people in the stores when that movie came out that were like that said to me they were like they were just like are you gonna go see that stupid Captain Marvel movie? And I'm like, yeah, I already saw it twice. It was awesome. And they're like, how can you even say that? I'm like, did you read the comics? They're like, no. And I'm like, how about you read the comics? Because it's really good. Here, read this graphic novel. If you like this graphic novel, you're gonna love the movie. And they were like, I'm not reading that. And I'm like, okay, well then you're probably not gonna like the movie then. I'm like, but
Go
I'm
read your
like,
Conan book. Go
right.
the same old, it's again, it's one of those things. Again, everybody's entitled to like what they like, and it
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
crapping on that.
I'm not,
I'm
yeah,
not,
I'm, yeah.
but don't criticize something that you don't understand.
Right.
But again, this day and age, we got people who don't understand basic civics. So,
Yeah.
and that stuff, ladies and gentlemen, is stuff we learned in seventh and eighth grade back in the day. And I'm talking back in the day in the 90s. So,
Oh God, we're old. Fuck. Anyway, speaking
yes,
of
we
old,
are.
we need to get going because I gotta drive home still. And
Yep.
yeah,
Yeah, I'm exhausted
sleepy.
still.
Yep. This has just been a marathon of weeks, and I've still got a couple more to go. So anyway, that pretty much wraps it up, guys. Hopefully you guys were entertained. Hopefully you had fun.
Yep. I hope you enjoyed our stories. It's,
Yeah.
maybe we encourage you. Maybe next year you guys come down to New York, and maybe me and John will be there both at the same time next year.
Yeah. Or if you want to, stop in the stores. Like, I'm going to be in Cranberry the next 2 days. Then I'll be at the show. And then I'll be in Cranberry most of next week if you want to stop up here and check out our smallest store. But it is, we pack it full of a lot of stuff. And then don't forget, we got the warehouse sales coming up. We have the dollar book team up. Oh, and also we have Tony Fleeks coming, I believe on the 9th to the waterfront. So make sure you bring your local man, your stray dogs, your feral, your uncanny valleys. He'll sign all of it for free. It's gonna be great. Unless you're getting it graded, but we don't have anybody there that's gonna be doing grading for
Yeah,
it.
no,
So,
Cody. Oh, that is somebody who did say hi. It was me and Cody did get to
oh.
hang out quite a bit.
Nice. Did you stroke his beard? I like to stroke his beard.
No.
He's got a beautiful beard.
I bullshitted with him and Garrett for a little bit because Garrett was
Nice.
there too. So
Love Garrett.
our fellow, he's like, "Oh, I didn't know you were going here." He's like, "Where's John?" Everybody asks, "Where's John? Where's John?" I was
Oh,
like,
really?
"Yeah." I was like, "Well, I was like, well, my work wife let me off the leash this weekend.
That's awesome.
Garrett chuckled. He's like, oh, he's like, how is it having two wives? It's like, well, I was like, it's a little give and take. It's
Oh, oh, that's funny. Well, I'm glad somebody asked about me. So,
there were a lot of vendors that were asking about you. It's, you know,
good.
it, jo John, you are
I'm
very
so
well
loved.
known. You are very well known. You know, you were well
Nice.
missed there. So,
Oh,
hell,
thanks.
you could have gotten in on the fun drama. You could have experienced the, wow, that was poorly handled.
Oh, I probably would have stepped in and it would have not been
Oh,
good for that guy. So I'll tell you
yeah.
that.
Oh, trust me, I Cupcake was holding me back a little bit because she
I
saw
bet.
me. I flared.
I bet.
She's like, I saw. She's like, you were not. I was like, I was not happy with that at all. I was like, that was
Fair enough. All right,
But
guys. Well, next week is Halloween, so make
yes.
sure you if you're not gonna watch and you're gonna go trick-or-treating, make sure you're safe and happy and get a lot of candy. But be safe.
Yes.
That's the key.
Yes.
But we will be doing the show. It'll be a lot of fun. We might be a little late though, because I'm gonna be running a magic event that might be running a little late. Or we might do it real early. I don't know. I'm going to talk to Justin about it later.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it on Sunday while we're doing the show. It'll be,
Yes.
we're going to do it sometime on Thursday. We just don't know what time yet. It'll be fine. But yeah. So talk to you later, guys. Thanks a lot. We will see you next week. Bye bye.